This is this past Sunday's broadcast of Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., an edition of Spiritual Perspectives, where I shared what I hope will be something that you find to be an important take on Stand Your Ground. Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., your host and your producer. Getting ready to lead us through another edition of Spiritual Perspectives. And as we go through our spiritual perspectives today, our focus is going to be on something that seems to have become, and probably was always intended to be, a rallying cry. Literally, a rallying cry for those who have long sought to come up with another way to wreak havoc in certain sectors of American society. Those who rally around the cry, stand your ground, stand your ground, stand your ground. The American nightmare, this phase of the American nightmare, started several years ago when young Trayvon Martin was on his way home. He had just left the store. He was walking through a neighborhood en route to his home when George Zimmerman spotted him while George was driving in his truck. George spotted young Trayvon Martin, and as we know, he began to stalk Trayvon. Over a short period of time, George put in a call to law enforcement, spoke with the dispatcher, and let the dispatcher know that he was looking at this black teen who was in the neighborhood. And I want to repeat something that I mentioned some months ago when we talked about this. George, to his credit, did not lie and say to the dispatcher, I see this black youth going from house to house, looking through the windows of the houses. He didn't lie to the dispatcher and say, I've seen him go to the front doors of a couple of these houses and put his hand on a doorknob, almost as though he was trying to get in. He didn't lie and say that. It was clear that as he watched Trayvon was doing what any citizen could do and raise no alarms whatsoever. He was simply walking straight through the neighborhood. And remember, he had a bag that indicated he had purchased something from a store. And he was simply walking. The dispatcher directed George to stop following Trayvon. George refused to obey that directive, and he continued to stalk Trayvon. George Zimmerman finally stopped his truck, and as we know from previous reports, Trayvon had noticed that George was following him. And he was on the phone talking with his friend, letting her know he was concerned about this person who was following him. George got out of his truck and approached Trayvon. Now, please note, George did not get out of his truck and just stand at his truck and watch Trayvon. That in itself could have been considered menacing enough, especially in light of the fact that Trayvon had already indicated clearly that he was troubled, he was disturbed, he was bothered by the fact, concerned by the fact that this total stranger kept following him in his truck. George finally stopped his truck and got out of the truck. And again, even though it would have been bad enough had George just stood at his truck and continued to stare at Trayvon, and then Trayvon approached George and said, "Hey, look, why do you keep following me? Do you have a problem with me?" That's not what happened. When George got out of his truck, he took his gun with him and he approached Trayvon. He confronted Trayvon unjustifiably because, again, Trayvon was simply walking through the neighborhood en route to his home. George confronted a child who was posing no threat to anyone. He was not posing a threat to person or property of anyone. He was simply walking en route to his home. When this total stranger, George Zimmerman, much bigger than Trayvon, approached him and began to confront him. Some kind of way, a scuffle ensued. George ended up on top of the smaller Trayvon. And we hear Trayvon screaming, yelling, crying out for his life, literally, because George has pulled out the gun that he put on his person just as he was getting out of his truck. And finally, Trayvon's cries and screams for help ended when, while sitting on top of him, George Zimmerman shot this youth in the chest and killed him. George, as we know, claimed that he shot and killed Trayvon Martin, this young youth who was simply walking through the neighborhood, not even taunting George as George followed him in the truck, who just kept on walking, trying to ignore his stalker. And until finally, the one who had been following him got out, walked up to Trayvon, started a confrontation, ended up on top of the smaller, more youthful Trayvon, and shot and killed him. And claimed then, George claimed later that he shot Trayvon because George felt like his life was being threatened. And unfortunately, the jury decided to side with George and not have him go to prison for having shot and killed this youth who was walking through the neighborhood to his home. They said that George was simply standing his ground. It wasn't that much later that a lady named Alexander Marissa Alexander and her husband had some problems, and I'm not even going to pretend to that I know what it was all about. I have read reports that there was a history of abuse wherein Marissa Alexander's husband allegedly had abused her previously. I also read reports that at the time of the incident in question, Marissa Alexander had been accused of cheating on her husband. And at the time of the incident, the time of the shooting, the firing of the gun, let me word it that way. At the time of the firing of the gun, it was reported by some that she had, that her husband was chasing her through the house, angry at her because she had been cheating on him. I don't know what it was about. This we do know. Marissa Alexander apparently felt threatened by her husband, and she was able to make it to a gun, which she picked up and fired, but deliberately fired only as a warning shot. She did not even aim the gun at her husband. She simply fired a warning shot, deliberately not striking him. She was arrested and she was imprisoned. She was sent to prison for assault. The prosecuting attorneys in Florida, where she lived, same state that Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman lived in, said that her case did not meet the standards for the requirements for the stand your ground laws. They sent her to prison and they gave her a 20-year prison sentence for having fired the gun and deliberately not hitting the person whom she was warning when she pulled the trigger. George Zimmerman got off scot-free. Marissa Alexander went to prison for 6 years. The jury embraced George Zimmerman's claim that he felt threatened and therefore was simply standing his ground. Marissa Alexander, who did not shoot anyone, deliberately did not shoot anyone, simply fired a warning shot, was told, your stand your ground claim doesn't hold muster, and she was sent to prison. More recently, Michael Draca, who had previously threatened to shoot several other people in several other incidences, ended up finally getting his wish fulfilled. He shot Marquise McLaughlin after having been pushed to the ground by McLaughlin. Now let's keep the perspective, the context in perspective. This incident started when Draca approached a woman in a car who had not been talking to him at all. This was someone he did not know. She was a complete stranger. This woman is in her car with her children, waiting for her boyfriend and other child to finish their shopping in the convenience store and come back out and they can leave. The lady had parked in a handicapped parking space. Don't know if she was legally entitled to be in that space or not, but this is what we do know. Draca said she was not permitted to be in that parking space, and he was confronting her about being in the space and was trying to get her to move her car out of that space. And from the reports, the two were arguing about the lady being parked in that space. An argument that Draca started when he saw her parked there. Could Draca have done what other people had done? Simply ignored the fact that she was there and gone on about his business and not said anything to the woman? Could he have done that? Would he have been violating any laws if he had said nothing to her, but just gone about his business, finished, got back in his vehicle, and left? Would he have been violating any ethics if he had just let the lady remain where she was parked, finished his business, got back in his vehicle, and left? Here's another question that I've wondered from the very beginning. Michael Draca was confronting this lady. Brittany Jacobs. He saw her parked in a parking space that was designated for the handicapped. He concluded that she did not have a right to be parked in that space. He did not approach her as security for that store. He did not approach her as a law enforcement officer. He simply approached her as an ordinary citizen who was upset about the fact that she was parked in that handicapped parking space, and he wanted her to move. That according to the videotape. He wanted her to move. Now, back to what I was saying. This is a question that I've wondered from the beginning. Draca was confronting Brittany Jacobs for being parked in that space. Did he even need that handicapped parking space himself? Or was this just another opportunity for Michael Draca, who reportedly had threatened to shoot several other people on several other instances before this case came up? Was this just another opportunity for Michael Draca to be Michael Draca? Whatever that means for Michael Draca. Michael continued to confront Brittany Jacobs about being parked in that space. Marquise McLaughlin realized what was going on, and he walked out of the store over to Michael Draca and pushed him to the ground. He was in the process. Marquise McLaughlin was literally in the process, according to the video, of walking away after he had pushed Draca to the ground. When Draca pulled out his gun, pointed at McLaughlin's chest, and pulled the trigger. He shot and killed Marquise McLaughlin, claiming he feared for his life. The Stand Your Ground law, in one key passage, says that you can use deadly force to, quote unquote, prevent imminent death or great bodily harm. You can use deadly force to, quote, end quote, prevent imminent death, or great bodily harm. We didn't receive any reports of Draca having been injured as a result of that shove or even his hitting the ground, his being pushed to the ground. The videotape does show the one who pushed him backing away from him after he pushed him and before Draca pulled out his gun. Did Draca really have reason to believe that death was imminent? Did he really have reason to believe that a man who was backing away from him was about to inflict great bodily harm upon him? This has become a rallying cry for many who have long sought the opportunity to do things just like this. Have an excuse to do what had been done so for so long during the days of slavery, during the days of Jim Crow, during the days of lynchings and shootings during Jim Crow. A rallying cry, stand your ground. With regards to the Michael Draker killing, the killing, Michael Draker's having shot and killed McLaughlin, five Democrats let the Justice Department know that they wanted to look into the sheriff's decision not to charge Michael Draker. Did any Republicans join the Democrats in insisting that the Justice Department thoroughly investigate that matter? This issue of human life and justice should not be a partisan issue. This should be about Americans looking out for Americans. This should be about people of any party affiliation genuinely caring about human life and justice. Think about the trauma that Brittany Jacobs and the children she and McLaughlin had are experiencing day after day, night after night, having seen her boyfriend, them having seen their father shot and killed in their presence. It would have been bad enough for them to just been shot and killed. That would have been traumatic enough. But for Draker to have shot and killed this man in the presence of his intimate ones, how long and how severe will the traumatic effects be on this family? I would hope that people, regardless of party affiliation, would genuinely care enough about all Americans that when something like this occurs, and a substantial number of people of all party affiliations would say, Justice Department, you need to make sure that you conduct a thorough investigation of this matter and handle this correctly. I'll be back and we're going to take a look at the biblical connection between the biblical connection of stand your ground.